This talk that I'm going to present today is on phosphorus. This project, though, involves nitrogen, it involves agronomics, it involves some lysimeter work. So there are a lot of other people working on it. Besides me, Tom Moorman is a soil microbiologist, Cindy Cambardella is an ecologist, Jeremy Singer is an agronomist with us, and Mark Tomer is a watershed hydrologist, so he's doing a lot of the groundwater work. So it's a multifaceted project, but again, I will stick with the phosphorus today. Now in Iowa, commonly we apply manure with one of these knife-type applicators. This is generally swine manure since we produce so much pork in the state. So we use one of these types of applicators here that we knife it in into the soil. And another common method is just to splash and cover, as some people call it, where it's simply you run the equipment through the field and the manure is applied to the surface of the soil, and then these discs knock the soil over the top. As you can imagine, often this does a pretty poor job, especially in corn residues here where you're producing continuous corn, and you end up with a lot of manure on the soil surface. So what happens to the phosphorus with that? Well, if you get a rainfall, you can lose some of it. Pathogens and such come off of this as well. So it's just not a very good system. We wanted something better. And then one of the other problems we're dealing with is if you're growing a system where you have cover crops, you can't very well disturb the soil to such a degree with one of these knife applicators or one of these splash applicators if you want to keep your cover crop alive. So that led us to looking at something better. We basically developed this system. This is similar to the DSI injection systems that are out there. So they're low disturbance. Got a coulter, a Yetter coulter on the front of this thing that cuts a slot, a narrow slot in the soil, and then we apply our manure behind that. So it seems to do a pretty good job. And I'll show some slides of that. So specifically for this presentation today, I'm going to talk about this objective. We looked at two swine manure application methods, that being the traditional knife or conventional knife application, and also our low disturbance applicator, and applied our manure that way. We looked at phosphorus fate, and that would be what happens to the phosphorus in the soil, and we looked at transport, and that would be what happens to the phosphorus coming off in runoff. So our production system also included a cereal rye cover crop. A few of the logistics here, characteristics and methods. This was done on a clarion silt loam soil. It had 5 to 7% slopes. This is a shot here of the plot area in the fall of 2007. This is a corn-soybean rotation. We are applying the manure after the soybean, and so just before the corn, and that's it. So our first manure application, I can get this pointer to work, was applied after the soybean harvest in 2007. So we applied manure again this fall, and we're going to do it again 2 years from now. So this will be a six-year project with three rotations. We used a nitrogen-based application, so we wanted to apply about 150 to 160 kilograms of N per hectare. We got 168 on average. We also applied 72 kilograms per hectare of phosphorus with this application. It was about, I've forgotten the liters now, it's about 7,500 gallons per acre, if you'll pardon my English units. Six treatments were involved, so no manure, conventional knife injection, and then our low disturbance applicator was used as well, both with and without a cover crop. It was set up as a randomized complete block with four replications. Initial properties of the soil here, these are 0 to 15 centimeter samples that we collected. Malic 3 phosphorus was at 27 parts per million, so that's not a very high level at all for soil in our area. Malic 3K was 134. Both of these would be above the optimum level for crop production, but certainly not excessive. pH was about 6.2. Organic matter content was 2.6% or 26 grams per kilogram. We looked at soil profile phosphorus and phosphorus in runoff from simulated rainfall measured after application in November. So that was so many days after the application of manure. manure about 3 weeks after, and in April again, so both in the fall and the spring. Got a couple of shots here of the system. This is our low disturbance system. This is our conventional system. So the manure went on the fields. You can see that in the soybean residue up here, we didn't disturb it too much with our low disturbance system. There's still, you see the tracks there, but it's certainly less disturbance than our traditional knife or conventional knife application. In the cover crop, did a very nice job. Just two small slits that you can see. Or slits, there were four of them actually, four row applicator. We tried to apply it about a foot or so to the side of the row or close to the mid row in these plots. You can see here with the conventional, we disturbed that cover crop quite a bit. Soil phosphorus measurements, and I'll talk about this and then I'll talk about our rainfall simulations. We used a sheet of anion exchange resin. This was a bicarbonate saturated exchange resin. This was 30 by 30 centimeter sheet being placed in the ground here. This is actually not a shot from our fields. This is a previous study, but you can see how we did this. So we placed this sheet in a pit in the soil. So we wanted to keep it perpendicular to the row within the plant row. And we buried these in the soil then for at approximately 34 days after the manure was applied. We did a 24-hour extraction. So after we bury these in the soil, we leave them for 24 hours. Then we go back, dig them out of the soil. We cut the membrane into small squares, and then we displace the phosphorus with a sodium chloride solution from each of those little squares. And then we use the data from each of those squares to develop contour plots of the phosphorus that was on the squares. Now here what I've done is I've taken the, for the depth increments, I've simply taken a mean value for what we found at each particular depth increment from our resin sheets. So we have no manure, our conventional knife application, low disturbance for our treatments. The units here are micrograms of phosphorus per square centimeter. So each of our little resin pieces, we could calculate this on a square centimeter basis in the soil. I ran statistics on this. These are the letters behind the numbers are, if they're the same letter, they're not significantly different at the 5% level. You can see here where we got significance was mainly in the 5 to 10 and 10 to 15 centimeter depth increment. In this case, we found that we had higher levels in this low disturbance application system. We did see some higher values in our conventional knife application at lower depths. If we ran the statistics at 0.1, then these were significant as well. So we tended to find more phosphorus lower in the profile rather than higher in the profile with our conventional knife application, which I think has to do to some degree with the fact that we're basically digging a trench there with our knife, and when we apply the manure, it soaks down into the profile. Whereas with our low disturbance, as you saw in the photographs there, there was not a large trench, and so a lot of that material was much closer to the soil surface, and so we picked up that extra phosphorus. One thing that I will show and that we've changed for this year is if you look at the profile distribution, this is depth in the profile and the row position, we placed our resin sheets in the soil on the plant row rather than on where the knife went, on the row where the manure was applied. So what we found was we picked up the hot spots here would be the red and the orange areas. We picked up hot spots over to the side, so the manure was applied over here rather than in the plant row. So this year we applied the manure again, I think it was October 16th, and we went out just last week, put our resin sheets in, but this time we centered it on the manure application row to see if we can pick up this sort of profile distribution underneath the manure knife band itself. Go in and talk about the rainfall simulations. Try to keep on time here. We did these in early November, 8 days after application, again in mid-May. These are a shot of our plots here, 1.5 meter by 3 meter plots. Our rainfall intensity was 65 millimeters per hour. We collected subsamples for dissolved reactive phosphorus and total suspended solids. We use colorimetric analysis for phosphorus. And this, again, is a shot of our plots in our rainfall simulator. This slide and the next slide are similar. This is from fall of 2007. This shows our P loss and the runoff. The first two bars are the dissolved reactive P. The second two bars are the total phosphorus. If you look at this, a couple of things jump out. First of all, we had a lot of variability here. So these standard deviations that are shown here, the error bars, there's a lot of variation that happened in that was part of our measurements. We did find, if we ran statistics on this, that for dissolved reactive phosphorus, the conventional and no manure application plots had less dissolved reactive P than the low disturbance plots. We also found for total phosphorus, cover crops were less than no cover. So the cover crop did prevent some losses of total phosphorus. If we look at what happened in the spring, one thing you'll notice here is that in this case, total phosphorus levels were much higher. They were much closer in the previous slide, so there was not that much difference between dissolved reactive P and total P. But if we go here to the spring, we get a lot more. The rainfall simulations were done after the corn was planted and after the cover crop was killed. And so I think we're getting much more phosphorus coming off because the standing cover crop was not there and the corn was already planted, so the ground was disturbed. In this case, we found conventional was less than the low disturbance and the no application for DRP. We found no cover was less than the cover crop in this case, and we think because we killed that cover crop, we were essentially doing a dissolved phosphorus or a water extraction of the phosphorus from that material, and so we saw that with our cover crop treatment, we got more dissolved phosphorus. There were no differences in total phosphorus in this case. So to sum this up, phosphorus concentrations in a runoff, I failed to point this out, they declined during the three-week period after application. So it took us from 8 days after application until 3 weeks later to actually get the rainfall simulations done, and that caused some problems. So we have to get it done more quickly this time, or next time we run this. Dissolved reactive phosphorus losses were greater in both fall and spring following low disturbance injection. So in the fall, it was probably because there was a lot more manure near the surface that remained near the surface. In the spring, it could have been because of the extraction of P in the plant residues. Application method had no effect on total phosphorus and sediment loads in runoff either season. The cereal rye cover crop reduced fall total P losses from the plots with the manure. And finally, manure application significantly increased soil P. The highest P levels were found closer to the surface, deeper in the soil with the conventional application and closer to the surface with the low disturbance application. So I think that's, well, continue the P measurements, and we're going to do another rainfall simulation in 2 years. So with that, thank you. I think I'm done.